that was Three Blind Christmas Mice by the Bel Airs. Boy, I could dance to that one. That's a good beat. Yeah. Or is it Three Blind Christian Mice? The Bel Airs, they were quite the thing back in the 50s and 60s. And that was requested by a Stray Dog. Yeah, back in New Germany, where he's sure that Brother Christie's going to be the president. Well, we'll see what happens. Well, this is Terrible Tommy on Tuesday. Wait a minute. Yeah, Tuesday. Oh, wow, I forgot. This is Trash Day. Yeah, it's the 14th, 2015. And, brother, it's raining like a cow peeing on a flat rock out here. Wow. It opened up about a half an hour ago and really came down. My gal was halfway between here and town. People had to pull off the highway. It was so raining so hard. So that's global warming, man. Well, if global warming is true, it's going to separate the men from the boys and separate the Aryans from a lot of other people, I think. You always got to look at the good points. You got to look at the good points, you know. And I think global warming could do a lot of good for the white race. Before I forget about it, I want to tell you that I've opened up this phone number that we had before. Let's see, it's 559-670-1473 again. And I'm going to start putting on some long type messages that I've received from other places. Good stuff. Not only on there, but we're doing it on the internet with our crawl space on there, give you the news. I want to try to give you a lot of news that, unfortunately, you know, you give hell to the progressives all the time, and they deserve it. But there's a hell of a lot of infection of this right wing misdirection. I get it all the time, feedback from some of you people. And you got to research this stuff, because there's a lot of these heretofore acceptable so-called spokesmen that will never usually say white. They'll say nationalist, or they'll say, what else? They'll say European American, all that kind of stuff, but they usually don't say white. And when it comes to the history of World War II, many of them are way off the beam. They only listen to one side, and they're getting it straight from the people who really helped cause the war and everything else. And so if you send me this stuff, and that's okay, I'm going to reply, and I'm going to see if I can set you straight. Because most of the people that are taking this, all this right-wing Cold War propaganda to heart, are not checking the real history out. There's always two or three sides to a story. We'll get into that later. Well, on climate change, there was a doctor was testifying in Washington, and I noticed it crashed. I noticed her. She was anti-global warming, and it crashed. So anyhow, I can send it to you, but the point being that we've got people on both sides that are screwing around with this thing, and it's sad that they can't get it straight. But like I said, my position is there's nothing we can do about it at this point. It's too late. It's too late to, if it's true, it's too late. And you know the United States Congress is going to resist it down to the very end for the corporate best interest. So boys and girls, you're just going to have to sit back and whatever comes, try to be prepared for it as much as possible. Don't live close to the coast. Try to be up on higher elevation. if you, especially if you're around rivers and lakes, and take the normal precautions. If you're in an area where you're close to lakes and rivers, build your house up on stilts like the niggers got brains enough to do down in Africa. I mean, the niggers figured that out 1,000 years ago. So that's all I can tell you. I think it, if it's true, it's going to separate the men from the boys in the white race. And you can stand by the riverbank and watch thousands of non-whites float down the river if you're smart. So let's keep our eyes on the ball, keep our nose to the grindstone, and don't get totally sidetracked on all this stuff that you can't do anything about. Okay? You know, somebody sent me a deal here about South Africa and how the Zulus were siding with the, basically, the whites in South Africa. Well, they've been doing that for a long time. The Zulus had made peace with the Afrikaners a long time ago. In fact, they were willing to go to war to keep South Africa the way it was. But the problem is that if you want to know about these countries and know what their politics is going to be, you watch the economy. First, go to the economy. What's happening to the economy in a country? Now, if you did that, you would know that South Africa went broke about 10 years ago, and now they're going broke again. So, I mean, you know, when countries go broke, things start to happening. You know, which way the mop is going to flop is. But we all knew that South Africa would go down the tubes sooner or later when they got niggers running the country. You knew it, I knew it, so there's no surprise there. But if you're wanting to know what's happening in a country, like I say, check the economy of the country. That's why I tell you there's another racial tsunami coming. I sent out a note on that yesterday, that natural products, iron ore and oil, everything is dropping. And all these countries, their economies in the third world is crashing. Now, what do you think is going to happen when the economy crashes? That's as bad as dropping bombs on them and destroying their infrastructure. If they can't sell their stuff, like iron ore was over $100 a ton, now it's down to $40 a ton. The Saudi Arabians, the oil's dropping through the bottom, going bottoming out. And guess what these people are going to do? They're going to do just like they are doing right now, invading Europe. And they're going to come from all these third world countries any way they can get here, or any Canada or any place. So don't be surprised. Another racial tsunami is on the way. Of course, the last probably to collapse will be the United States, because there's still enough confidence in that phony buck that people are going to stick with it to the very end. Just like the third world. I watched a movie last night where a guy was trying to, he was in Australia and there'd been a collapse in Australia. And he was trying to pass off Australian money and they wouldn't take it, only U.S. dollars. Well, finally, it'll come to the end when they won't take U.S. dollars either. So just keep that in your head. Just remember, that paper is only an issue of debt. Every dollar is loaned into circulation. And when you don't control your own dollar, we haven't for a long time. It's just we've been floating on this idea that people have confidence in the dollar because they still see the United States as being a wealthy country. Well, sooner or later, that's not going to last. You know, I wanted to comment, too, about this gun situation they're going crazy about. Do you realize that the people who bitch about the guns most of all are the ones that bitch about the coming fascist government and how the fascist Republicans have taken over and they're going to have a dictatorship and everything else? And at the same time, these people are saying, get rid of the guns. If you totally believe that, then you have to be a moron to say get rid of the guns. You want to get more guns. Well, for progressive liberals not to want guns, it's crazy. It's like Jews not wanting to have guns after they experienced those concentration camps. If you're a Jew, you'd want to be armed to the teeth, man. You never know when Uncle Adolf Jr. Jr. is going to come to town, you know. So. Another thing that grabs my ass is funny as hell is that, you know why they build up so much animosity to guns? One of the reasons? Gun owners themselves. No, not the shooting people, not that they're hunting, but they've turned all these guns into military-type guns. This bullshit about making all these guns look like military guns, which is totally unneeded, scares the shit out of people. So the right wing is actually digging their own hole, because and what made me start thinking about this was Friday night I was out with my gal, and this place we like to go to, the guy's going to auction off a, I don't know what it was. It shot 223 shells, and it looked like something from Mars, something science fiction thing. And I said, well, why do people need things, guns that look like that, you know? Why don't they just have regular guns? I said, you know, I got my sawed-off 12-gauge shotgun, and at fairly close range, it'll do a hell of a lot more damage than that thing will do. So I got to thinking about that, and I think that's where a hell of a lot of the anti-gun hysteria is coming from. They're seeing all these military-style weapons, and subconsciously or consciously, it's scaring the hell out of them, and they see it as sort of a police state takeover type thing. It's in their mind. So in reality, the NRA and all these people pushing these space-age guns are actually digging their own hole, as far as I'm concerned. You don't need that stuff. And the fact that you want those kind of guns tells me something about you, too. You know? Think about it. You're thinking, these guys are thinking, boy, look at that. It's mean and it's evil looking. Boy, that's really something. But who needs it? Who needs it? It doesn't make you a damn bit more dangerous. It doesn't maximize your firepower. I've had guns for a long time that'll match the firepower of the gun he had. And they aren't very scary either, you know. Find out, talk to your friends about that. Why don't they play down all that bullshit space-age military hardware guns? And you might find that a lot of the anti-gun sentiment would sort of drift away. If they wanted to take the guns, they try to take the guns. It's going to be, at first, a hell of a battle, but if they really want the guns, they'll get the guns, because most people that have lots of guns are like people that are bragging about their penis. They're going to have these guns all over their house, but they don't have the balls to use it. Most of the people who talk big and have a lot of guns and cross the line with the law, when the law shows up, they never fire a damn shell. So that's what I'm thinking about that. So they come to, like I said, 25, 30 years ago, I said, you know, they'll come to the end of your street with some trucks with a big loudspeaker on. They'll say, we want all the guns thrown out of the front door or windows in the houses on this street. Now, if you don't do it, there's going to be trouble. Oh, maybe one or two would come out of the front door or window. And then the comandante, he would say, now, I mean, we want the guns. They'd go down the street and they'd pull the first guy out of the house and blow his brains out and throw him into the street. Now we want your goddamn guns. And they'd get them. Because most people are paper hangers, sheep. They're not going to fight. They never did. Never will. Only a small percentage of the people will fight. And usually using guerrilla warfare, and get a lot of people who jump ship from the military too and go off in the woods or something, or go off in the urban areas. But don't depend on the masses. The masses are asses, always have been asses, always will be asses. Here's another point I'd like to make for those that are still hanging on to Christ's insanity. Christ's insanity has been used to enslave the white race from the word go. Why wouldn't it? It was created by the Jews, still run in the background by the Jews, still everybody is studying out of the Jewish Torah, the Old Testament, and all these churches. Well, I want to give you a good example of how that works and why I'm correct and my logic is correct. They brought the rich capitalist types, the mercantile people, brought thousands of Negroes into this country. And what's the first thing they did? They got them into Christianity. Now, why, if you were slave owners and wanted to control these people, would you give them Christianity? Well, of course you'd give them Christianity because you can control them. The black Africans were animists. They worship nature, like I do, really. I don't worship it, I guess. I respect it, revere it. But the first thing they did was give them Christianity. Now, don't you see the connection? Christianity is a slave religion. And they wanted to enslave the niggers like they have. I mean, you know, look at the tremendous amount of Christ's insanity in the black race. It's unbelievable. They were much better in the Muslim. You know, I got to give Farrakhan respect in the sense that he got them out of Christianity over into the Muslim. Of course, I have no respect for the Abrahamic religions, all three of them, Christianity, Judaism, and Christianity. They're all control religions. But I've never understood why Negroes would adopt the slave master's religion. It don't make sense. Anyhow, you don't need religion to maintain a great life, a healthy life, honest life, respectful life, reverent life, so forth. This idea that you've got to be a Christian. In fact, I think that more violence and crap comes out of these three religions than ever was to come out of an atheist. Any of these Abrahamic religions, they simply give you an excuse to do whatever you want to do. And most of the time it's the wrong thing. Most of the time it's killing. I mean, most of the violence in the world comes from the basis of religion, no matter how much they want to argue out of it. If you didn't have the Muslim religion, and you didn't have Judaism, and you didn't have Christianity, and you had just people living a life of respect for nature and so forth, you'd see a very peaceful world. Yeah, be very peaceful. No, it wouldn't be without violence. I mean, people have problems with each other and so forth. But it would be, I would say it would be three-quarters more peaceful than it is today. Did I say this was Tuesday? If I did, I screwed up. This is Monday. You know, boys and girls, no matter how much people like a lot of the things that Trump says, there's a hook in this thing. There's a hook in this thing. They always end up playing you, and most of the time we fall for it. But just watch out. There's a hook in this thing. I know the Republicans were desperate to get the party faithful out there and get new people to vote Republican. And they're going to get, Trump goes all the way, they're going to get millions of whites out there voting for him because they think he's going to do the number. But he's not. He's a billionaire. He serves the billionaire class in the end. But there's a hook in this thing, and it's going to come along as time goes on. You know, I like this consortium news. I'm sure they're not always right, but they're right more than they're wrong. Their editor, Robert Perry, put this out. America's political crisis, from the crazy rhetoric coming from the Republican presidential hopefuls to the deception, to deceptive propaganda emanating from the Obama administration, could not have happened without the corresponding crisis in the U.S. news media, which is why Consortium News exists. Frankly, if the mainstream media had been doing its job in 1995, seriously examining U.S. government wrongdoing, such as the Reagan-Bush administration's ties to the Nicaraguan Contra drug dealers and its secret dealings in the Middle East, there would have been no need for our independent investigative news site. And it's not as if things have improved since the 1990s, with the mainstream media falling for Bush-Cheney lies about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction last decade and failing to show skepticism when the Obama administration peddles dubious stories about events in Libya, Syria, and the Ukraine this decade. So Consortium News remains just as necessary today, if not more. I'd recommend it to you. They have some great articles on there, and they're not siding with the system, that's for sure. Consortium News. You'll sure get a lot more valuable information off there than you will Stormfront or VNN. No, they're not big racial people or like that. I can't say that. But on what's going on in the world and how we're being sold down the river by our own people, our own government, they're excellent. Well, the Pope calls for world leaders to adopt the Paris climate deal. Well, if he's got an in with Jesus, why didn't he talk about global warming long ago? Pope Francis urged swift action with particular attention guaranteed for the most vulnerable populations. Oh, we got to give special attention to the non-white third world. That's interesting. Where were you all this time, Papa? And why can't you just pray to Jesus and have this thing straightened out? Why not? Because everything you're preaching is mostly bullshit. And as I said earlier, if global warming is true, I've studied enough to know that it's too late. It's too late to do it. And these capitalist predators, the rats, they're going to fight you all the way. You're not getting that much generation of power from air and various things. No, they want to build more nuclear plant. That's like jumping from the frying pan into the fire. So get ready to ride it out if it's true, because they're not going to change it. Isn't this interesting? You can't have a racial tattoo on in the military, but a Sikh soldier may keep his beard in rare but temporary army exception. You see? They give the breaks to the third world people. The accommodation for an active duty combat soldier is only for a month, while the army deliberates making it permanent. If it does not, the captain could be forced to choose, shave his beard or leave the army. Well, wouldn't that be interesting about all the guys who have gotten kicked out of the military for having a racial tattoo? Well, that beard on a Sikh is a symbol of his racial beliefs, not just his religious beliefs, but his cultural and racial beliefs. So, of course, kick him out, but they won't, because we don't want to offend a non-white. Whoa! Jews for Jesus denounces the Vatican policy of not seeking Jewish converts. A leader of the Christian group accused the Vatican of pandering to Jewish leaders. Wow! I used to think it was pretty funny when the Jewish Defense League chased these Jews for Jesus around town, beat up on them if they could. The Jews for Jesus organization has denounced the Vatican. David Brickner, executive director of Jews for Jesus, said in a statement issued Friday that his organization finds the position egregious, especially coming from an institution which seeks to represent significant numbers of Christians in the world, unquote. The pronouncement against converting Jews came in a major document released Thursday by the Vatican's Commission on Religious Relations with the Jews. It was issued to mark the 50th anniversary of Nostra Aetate, a declaration promulgated in 1965 by the Second Vatican Council that opened the door to formal Catholic-Jewish dialogue. The new Vatican document, titled The Gifts and Calling of God Are Irrevocable, discussed at length how Christianity is rooted in Judaism. Hey, did you hear that? Christian identity, people. Christianity is rooted in Judaism. Of course it is. For all you people that are Hollywood Nazis and going to Christian churches, that don't work out too well. Because of this, it said the church is obliged to view evangelization to Jews who believe in one God in a direct manner from that to people of other religions and worldviews. Well, the Jews didn't always believe in one God until they figured a way of getting it a private thing, which is their God, and he loves them only. Before that, they had a whole lot of gods. They were just as pagan as the pagans. It added in concrete terms, this means that the Catholic Church neither conducts nor supports any specific institutional mission work directed towards the Jews. No, the Jews got the whole ball of wax. They don't need any teaching. Brickner accused the Vatican of pandering to Jewish leaders. Well, that's anti-Semitic. That's anti-Semitic. Here's a Jew that's anti-Semitic. How can the Vatican ignore the fact that the Great Commission of Jesus Christ mandates that his followers are to bring the gospel to all people? Yeah, enslave them all. Are they merely pandering to some leaders in the Jewish community who applaud being off the radar for evangelization by Catholics? If so, they need to be reminded that they first received that gospel message from the lips of Jews who were for Jesus, he said. Jews for Jesus, which calls itself the largest Jewish mission agency in the world, has branches in 13 countries and 25 cities. If things weren't screwy enough, they're going to screw it up even more. I don't see why you need Jews for Jesus when all the Christians every Sunday in church are studying out of the Torah, the Old Testament. What do you need? It don't make sense. Well, here comes another curveball. Republican presidential candidate Ted Cruz has surged ahead to become the latest front runner in the campaign for Iowa caucuses, dislodging Ben Carson and opening an impressive lead over the stalled Donald Trump, a Bloomberg Politics Des Moines Register Iowa poll shows. Now, this is a lot of, pretty much a lot of hokum, but there are a bunch of crazy evangelicals out there in Iowa. They're nuts. I never realized how nuts they were. The Firebrand Jr. senator from Texas, and check out his background with his father and so forth from Cuba, that claimed to be a big anti-Castro fighter and turned out nobody knows him. The Firebrand Jr. senator from Texas is backed by 31% those likely to attend the Republican caucuses that start the presidential nomination season in February 1st. Trump is a distant second at 21%. Well, that's respectable. Up slightly from 19% in October, but below his peak of 23% in August. Well, whatever comes out of Iowa is not going to mean much. And so they're going to get all these evangelicals together and vote like hell for him, but by the time he gets to Maine, no, New Hampshire, you'll watch that change real fast. Cruz's 21% point jump since October is the largest surge between the Iowa polls recorded in at least the last five presidential caucus campaigns. When first and second choices are combined, he has the support of 51% of likely caucus goers. Boy, somebody's pushing this bastard. The senator's great leap forward comes largely at the expense of Carson, as Carson, he should have got out of there a long time. He's as bad as a pizza maker in the last round we had. As Iowa's evangelicals appear to have picked the candidate they want to get behind.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's how the politics run in these churches. They have very, very close communications, and the preachers start preaching. They're preaching politics from the altar, dolem shitcha, which is illegal, but they're doing it to get all these Christians, Christ Insanity people lined up. The retired neurosurgeon, now barely in third place, is supported by 13%, down from the first place showing he posted in October when he was at 28%. I don't know what the hell he's doing. Does he just want to get a job? You know, a lot of times there's fallout that you make money off these things, even if you're the loser. I don't know if he's retired from cutting brains open or not. Well, listen to this. At this festive and busy time of the year, even if you don't go to a house of worship, in other words, a brain control, mind control center, you can perhaps go to the movies. A crop of films and theaters this December has strong religious themes, both Christian and Jewish, and there are a few for skeptics as well. Some highlights in alphabetical order. Well, Will Smith is doing this movie on football players and how they got their brains beaten out. Anybody that knows anything about cause and effect knows that when you beat your head against the wall and hit other guys head on at 10 miles an hour or whatever, your brain is going to get smashed from side to side. Now, this movie, based on actual events, is told through the eyes of Dr. Bennett Ormalu, played by Will Smith, a genius Negro, a forensic pathologist who contends that the National Football League tried to suppress his research on the impact of concussions on players' brains. Anybody with a brain should know what that was all about. Columbia Pictures is promoting the real Dr. Amalu's Christianity as a driving factor in his work. Fun fact, Will Smith was raised a Baptist, went to Catholic schools, and is now not religious, but has spoken favorably of, guess what, Scientology. Another propaganda movie. But the subject matter is good as far as that's concerned. But anybody knows that running full bore and smashing your head against somebody running towards you the other way or running against a wall or something and or having 15 guys jump on you, going to take its toll. That's simply it. Any parent that pushes his kid into football is crazy. And there's a lot of places where they're trying to get rid of football and sports. There's other sports that are just as much fun. And it's usually this self-aggrandizement of the parents, the fathers, who wants their kid to be a great football star, sports star. And then all the niggers, too, they get all those white cheerleaders, they like that stuff too. Oh, he's a hero. He's wonderful. He's smart. He's a smart nigger. Next one is a real spooks in the sky movie. Hold it.
Biblical archaeologist Don Verdeen has received worldwide acclaim for his incredible discoveries in the Holy Land. Don's discoveries have touched the lives of millions, confirming the miraculous narrative found in the Bible.
We're standing in the very creek bend where David fought Goliath. If I'm David, I'm going to get one chance for a kill shot right between the eyes.
You had to end the youth rest, Don.
I am so sorry, Carol.
Don, church attendance has been on a massive decline.
Satan can get you to start your day off wrong.
And he's going to do it through breakfast cereal.
Grape nuts, testicles. Nice try, Satan.
What I'm proposing is that we bring more artifacts here.
It would be like a holy land in the good old U.S. of A., where it should be. Not over there.
I believe I have a lead on the location of Goliath's skull.
Don, I'm going to get you to Israel.
Hey!
אסור מהממשלה לחפור במדינת ישראל.
It's illegal to dig up.
We need that skull.
You know, in life, sometimes untruths are necessary for the greater good.
Lord, I have mercy.
He had slaves while being clean.
I should have fought you right now.
I'm sure there's something we can work out.
I want the wife done. She has to be gentle, sweet, and hot like Stephen.
Ladies and gentlemen, Goliath Skull.
Congratulations, your ministry is almost relevant again.
I want you to find everyone involved and put a dead dog in each one of their cars.
The front page news, everybody wants a pizza hut.
Wow, you're like glad.
We need something big, the Holy Grail of artifacts.
And what might that be?
The Holy Grail.
How the heck are we going to find that?
How am I supposed to know? Produce it from my anus.
I ain't gonna tell you one no more. Tell you one no more.
There are countless souls whose very salvation is at stake here.
I got a jumble of thoughts just going on. There's a fog, like Lucifer has farted inside my brain.
What Al-Qaeda would want with the skull of a Philistine, I have no idea.
They're possibly cloning an army of giant Al-Qaeda guys.
Boy, I gotta see this one. I gotta see this one. Funny as hell. This is a comedy. It's a Christmas miracle, this description from the producers. A self-professed biblical archaeologist who's fallen on hard times starts to bend the truth in order to continue inspiring the faithful. It's going to be released on the 11th. Well, that's ought to be in the theaters this weekend. Yeah. Well, here's another Christ Insanity movie that's in the theaters. Whoa. Get that damn thing turned around there. Everything Will Be Fine is the name of the movie, I guess. Nice. Uplifting plot for the holidays. A rider is out driving, hits a kid, and kills him. From the film's website. Quote, the incident sets him on a soul-searching, decades-long journey towards redemption. A quest that profoundly touches the lives of both his girlfriend and the accident victim's mother. Pass the popcorn and the Prozac, currently in the theaters. They want to get you when you're the most vulnerable. Then you're going to give a lot of money to the United Way and all that kind of stuff, and to the churches. You can't wait to get into church and give them your money. Whoops, here's another one. The Letters, it's called. This biopic of the late Mother Teresa, currently on the fast track to becoming a Catholic saint, hasn't been well received by the secular press, though some religious reviewers have raved about it. The Sticking Point, the India-based nun who founded the Missionaries of Charity, left behind a trove of letters that expressed, among other things, her struggle with doubt and faith. Apparently, the controversy created by the release of the letters gets short shrift in the film, despite the title currently in the theaters. Wow. Well, I've read some exposés on Mother Teresa, and they're not too hot. You look around, a few years ago, people investigated her quite a bit. I don't think she's quite the saint material people think she is. Anyhow, what the fuck is a saint anyhow? Let's have a little outtake on Mother Teresa here.
She seemed cheerful in her daily life and tireless in her work, but inside, she was experiencing a terrible emptiness.
No one knew about her feeling of isolation.
The letter she wrote documented the loneliness she endured over a period of 6 decades.
Dear Father Van Exen, never in all my life did I know there was such suffering in the world as I have seen here.
On the train, the voice was very clear. I must leave the solace of the convent and give my life to serve the poorest of the poor.
So it's not safe for you to be out here. These people are hungry, desperate.
You know, cloistered nuns cannot go outside the wall.
But I must do something.
you, Sister Teresa.
There are so many people interested in knowing more about you.
If you want to write a story, look outside. The poor are everywhere.
Christian woman, you are not welcome here.
She's evil. I may not be wanted here, but I am needed.
We want to work with Sister Teresa.
She's stealing us too, Miss Your Grace. She would be throwing away their lives, their education, if they join us, the slums.
This work is far more difficult than I had imagined it would be. How long will my heart suffer?
She was first and foremost a teacher.
We welcome your new order to the Catholic Diocese of Calcutta. Mother Teresa.
The greatest suffering is to feel alone, unwanted, unloved.
I'm ashamed of Max von Sydow for making this film because he's one of my favorite actors. And I'll bet you anything he doesn't believe in this stuff. But you see how this is crazy how this all works. The capitalists go in there and drain the countries of their natural resources and create the poorest of the poor. And then the churches come in and Mother Teresa comes in to keep these poor alive in misery, hunger, and disease. She barely can affect anything, any good, because there are millions. With the growing population of the world, you're going to see the days where these people are counted as pariahs. Anybody trying to keep masses of the third world alive is going to be a pariah. And unless they can figure a way of bringing the predatory capitalists to their knees and bringing in massive birth control, which is not going to happen. Now here's another one that's playing on the heartstrings. It's called Yellow Day. It's a cartoon movie, a family movie. It follows a young man through a single day in which he is miraculously able to see the world through the eyes of God. It's going to be released on December 25th. Okay, let's see this one. Yellow Day.
This Christmas, you're invited to experience the Yellow Day at Camp Grace.
So, have you been to Camp Grace before?
It's my first time.
Look, see how much land it's used for?
Wow.
A place where outreach is a way of life.
Today is the day we celebrate all the great work we do here at Camp Grace.
Miracles are possible. And on one very special day, faith can lead you on a journey of discovery.
You're here for someone.
I know she goes to this camp every year.
I will help you find her.
You'll never forget.
Michelangelo said that the sculpture was already in the marble. It was just waiting to be revealed. Some people are fully sculpted, some aren't. You just have more in you.
Faith-based and Christian-type movies and all that are full of blacks and white, nice-looking white people hugging and kissing all the way through the movie with Negroes. Every one of them. Get the message? Whoa, get that mic around here. Get the message. That's right. Got to hug your local Negro to be a good Christian. Well, there's some comments on this page. Let me read a few to you. The letters is the one I want to see. I have read 5 different books about Mother Teresa, and the one which seems the most honest is Mother Teresa, The Missionary Position, by Christopher Hitchens. According to Hitchens, few people have done more damage to impoverished people than Mother Teresa. She was a friend not to the impoverished, but to poverty itself. I was raised Catholic and was always told Mother Teresa was a good person. But after all I have read, Teresa and her religion deserve nothing but scorn. Here's a statement by Christopher Hitchens. The single most effective cure for poverty has been the emancipation of women. It has worked universally in every place it's been tried. Mother Teresa gave her life fighting against women's freedoms. Unquote. There you go. Well, since I got off on the religious track, we might as well finish up the show that way with this article that's titled, Whom Would Jesus Shoot and Why? Evangelical voices have been quick on the draw to blast Jerry Falwell Jr. for his call to Liberty University students to tote concealed weapons to class in case of a terror attack. They said his remarks were troubling and that he didn't sound like the Prince of Peace. Okay. Perhaps, but a closer look at the rebuttals by Falwell's Christian critics might be equally troubling. Addressing Falwell's call for Christians to defend themselves against violent attackers with violence themselves, Shane Claiborne asked what a Christian should do when faced with certain death. Claiborne's answer, quote, we can lay down our lives. We can put our bodies in the way of violence. It was Jesus who said, quote, the greater love has no one than this to lay down his life for his friends. Where am I at here? Okay, here we go. I better take these glasses off. Put my other glasses on. Damn it, I can't see. Okay, I'll get back at it here. Sounds noble, truly, but it is the only appropriate Christian response in the face of physical danger to lovingly allow her attacker to take her life. Similarly, to make his point about nonviolence, Jonathan Merritt quoted Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount in which Rabbi Jesus instructs his followers to forgive their enemies and to turn their other cheek to anyone who would wrong them. Obviously, Jesus is the way of peace. Well, that's impossible because he didn't exist. Anyhow, still it seems like there might be a more responsible way of applying Jesus' teaching to terrorist attacks. Christian author C.S. Lewis, in an essay on why he's not a pacifist, allows his own interpretation of the oft-quoted turn the other cheek. Lewis argues that if the only relevant factors in a scuffle are 1, my neighbor injured me, and 2, I want to injure him back, then obviously Christ's command means I should give up the desire for retaliation. But the moment you introduce other factors, he argues, the problem is altered. There were clearly more factors involved in San Bernardino, California, than a personal injury and the desire for vengeance. Therefore, according to Lewis' logic, simply offering the shooter your right cheek to blow off and then she blew off your left cheek is not an obligatory response for Christians. There's a rich tradition within the Orthodox Christian thought that has long tried to come to terms with the reality of physical force in a broken world. Out of this thinking has evolved various theories on justified violence that humbly submit that the Christian love and the call to arms are not mutually exclusive. Now, this is the one they use for warfare. To criticize Christians who carry guns, some have asked how does shooting someone count as loving your neighbor? However, in the spirit of Jesus, you might ask, who is my neighbor? Obviously, Jesus defines neighbors to include our enemies. Appropriately enough, our national enemies. He also opens the definition to include those who are most vulnerable and in need of our immediate assistance. What if loving my immediate neighbors requires me to shoot someone threatening them? Does it really count as loving my baby niece if and when someone comes to do her harm? I simply bow my head and publish an open letter on the internet. Theologian Thomas Aquinas has written that one action can have two effects, an intended effect and an accidental one. The action of self-defense does at times have two effects as well, he argues. One is the saving of one's life, the other is slaying the aggressor. This is known as the principle of double effect. Tobias Wainwright, Catholic ethicist and former police officer, explained in an interview with the U.S. Catholic, when asked about police shooting life-threatening suspects, Wainwright said, "The intent is not to kill, it's to stop the person. The primary effect is stopping the person from killing you or someone else, but the secondary effect is that they will die. Especially after you shoot them, 16, 17 times? This is known as the principle of double effect, Tobias Wainwright, Catholic ethicist and former police officer, explained. Wait, I'm reading that twice. Obviously, police and civilians ought to view the question of justified violence differently. Police are tasked with protecting those around them. No, they're tasked with defending the state. That's what cops are for, defending the state, not to defend you. Defend the state first, just like the federal courts and the Supreme Court. They're not to protect you. Once in a while it might happen accidentally, but they're there to protect the state. But as the Catechism of the Catholic Church instructs, it is also permissible for Christians to defend themselves from harm. I don't need the church to tell me that. Love towards oneself remains a fundamental principle of morality. Therefore, it is legitimate to insist on respect for one's own right to life. Yeah. The taking of any human life is always grievous. Not always. Each death pains the God whose image we all bear. Well, that's bullshit. Further, it is troubling to consider how a violent action, even when justified, could ever advance the kingdom of God that Christ came to establish. Still, it is also troubling to hear our cultural gatekeepers pretend that answering such questions is as simple as creating a meme or getting a tweet to go viral. Wait a minute. Come on. Whether you're telling Christians to take up arms or lay them down to defend their neighbors or sacrifice their lives, to err in the extreme on either side is naive. Are there no nuanced positions in between both of these poles for us to consider? It seems better to use our time to discuss those. Well, I think it's a waste of time even to go down this route, because it's self-defense, that's it. You are part of the animal natural world, and you must use your muscle and your blood and your brain to protect yourself and the people you deem to be fit to protect. That's it. Forget about all the Christ insanity stuff. It did not exist. Or do as many Christians do, go the Jewish way through the Torah of the Old Testament and go back when they were killing people everywhere. I mean, you know, David and Goliath, man, got him right in the forehead, killed him. I don't believe that story at all. In fact, I don't believe most of the stories. In fact, on my tour of Israel, religious Israel, I mentioned that to the tour guide over and over again, that there's no evidence this happened. No evidence at all it happened. He said, I know. We think it happened. Sometimes I wake up from a dream in the morning. I said, did that happen? Or didn't it happen? I'll close with my favorite little ding here from the movie. Okay. This one, I just love this one.
I picked up a little soundbite from a film, True Detective. You might have seen it, Matthew McConaughey. And the other one, I forgot his name. But anyhow, I thought this was pretty amusing, so I cut the clip out of the film to run it for you. And I forgot to tell you, this was these two detectives had gone to this tent revival meeting. They're looking for a guy, but the conversation between the two detectives is very interesting. One is an agnostic, maybe atheist, but pretty logically speaking. The other one's sort of nominal Christian, but he's a rounder, he's a whoremonger, he's a drunk. So let's listen to this interplay between these two detectives as they're standing at the back of this crowd out of nowhere's land in a revival tent.
Parishat D said the church burned down 4 months earlier. No prince put out an APB on Friends of Christ. A week later, they were in Franklin. Revival ministry, old time religion. You can imagine what Mr. Charisma thought of that. Who do you think the average IQ that this group is? Huh? And you see Texas up there on your high horse. What do you know about these people? Just observation and deduction. See a propensity for obesity, poverty, and yen for fairy tales. Toast putting what few bucks they do have in the little wicker baskets being passed around. I think it's safe to say that nobody hears when they split in the atom, Marty. You see that? Your fucking attitude. Not everybody wants to sit alone in an empty room beating off the murder manuals. Some folks enjoy community, the common good. Yeah, but the common good's got to make up fairy tales, and it's not good for anybody.
Your sorrows came you to this place. They divide you from what your heart knows. And there are a lot of good hearts out there. I'm looking out there. I'm seeing a lot of good hearts out there. I see a lot of good hearts out
there. I mean, can you imagine if people didn't believe what the things they get up to? Exact same thing they do now. Just out in the open. Bullshit. It'd be a fucking freak show of murder and debauchery, and you know it. If the only thing keeping a person decent is the expectation of divine reward, then brother, that person is a piece of shit. And I'd like to get as many of them out in the open as possible. Well, I guess your judgment is infallible, piece of shit wise. You think that notebook is a stone tablet? What to say about life? You gotta get together. Tell yourself stories that violate every law of the universe. Just get to the goddamn bed. What's that say about your reality, Marty? When you get to talking like this, you sound panicked.
You think it's all a scandal?
Mm.
All them folks?
Mm-hmm.
They just wrong?
Oh, yeah. Been that way since one monkey looked at the sun and told the other monkey, he said, for you to give me your fucking share. People. So goddamn frail, they'd rather put a coin in a wishing well than buy dinner.
Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, your arms are open and closed. The echoes of my life think I'm going to see the truth about you. You move a feather in the ass, you touch
transference of fear and self-loathing to an authoritarian vessel. It's catharsis. He absorbs their dread with his narrative. Because of this, he's effective in proportion to the amount of certainty he can project. Certain linguistic anthropologists think that religion is a language virus that rewrites pathways in the brain, dulls critical thinking.
Well, I don't use $10 words as much as you, but for a guy who sees no point in existence, you sure fret about it an awful lot. And you still sound panicked.
At least I'm not racing to a red light.